KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Murder and terrorism charges filed against Luigi Mangione in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson 2 weeks ago in New York. Mangione caught in Pennsylvania after a five-day manhunt. He could arrive in New York City shortly, says ABC senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky.
His attorney now tells ABC News she expects Mangione to waive extradition on Thursday. He could appear in a New York court the same day. The lawyer declined to comment on the indictment itself, but if convicted, Mangione faces an almost certain sentence of life in prison without parole.
Madison, Wisconsin, still reeling after Monday's shooting at a private Christian school that left two dead, as well as the 15-year-old student who carried out the attack. Among the possible motives, bullying. The Washington Commanders are a step closer to returning their old home. A provision of Congress's short-term spending plan includes a transfer of land that's the site of the old RFK Stadium from the federal government to the District of Columbia. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Batten down the hatches, make sure the snowblower is gassed up and ready, and get those shovels out of the back of the garage. Winter Storm Asher is expected to make its arrival Thursday morning throughout the area. Northeast Wisconsin will see snow between 4 and 7 inches, starting mid-morning Thursday and continuing through the night. Travel is expected to be affected. Record holiday travel numbers are projected for Wisconsin. According to the AAA, nearly 2.4 million Wisconsinites will travel 50 miles or more from home between December 21st and New Year's Day, breaking the previous all-time high set last year by over 76,000 people. Nearly 90% of those travelers will drive to their destinations. Nationally, AAA forecasts that 107 million people will take a holiday road trip of 50 miles plus, just missing the all-time mark set in 2019. They also expect air travel to set a new record this holiday season. The Green Bay Area Public School District is under fire from a parent who claims the district is failing her son, who was diagnosed with dyslexia. She claims he's not getting the support and one-on-one resources needed because he's white. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty sent a letter to the district asking for removal of a policy in the King Elementary School Success Plan that under literacy reads, quote, intentional work educating our focus students, prioritizing additional resources to First Nations, Black, and Hispanic students. The school district acknowledges receiving a letter from Will and says it is investigating the allegations. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Bucks win the NBA Cup. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks, with a strong second half, beat the Oklahoma City Thunder by 16 points. The final 97-81. Bucks owner Wes Edens was there in Las Vegas with the team to accept the NBA Cup trophy.
It is so sweet. It's so great to be here. You know, last year it all happened kind of fast. We were very happy to be here. This year when they came in, they were here to do the business, finish the job, and they did it tonight.
Giannis, blocking shots, passing the ball, finished with 26 points and named the tournament's MVP. VP.
We came out in the third quarter, we set the tone, we played great team basketball, we were moving the ball, guys were making shots, but most importantly, we were competing defensively. The team scored only 14 points, that's who we are. We are going to improve, and we're going to stay like team because job is not done.
College football, more players leaving the Wisconsin Badgers football team. Will Pauling, their top receiver this year, announcing he's entering the transfer portal, and Badgers receiver C.J. Williams, also leaving Wisconsin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have some snow on the way. Tomorrow into tomorrow night, we could end up with 3 to 5, maybe even 6 inches of accumulation by the time it all winds down late Thursday night. Today, though, partly cloudy, 30. Tonight, clouds will increase down to 12. Snow tomorrow with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Hi, I'm Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. Let us take the hassle out of vacation rental property management. We'll maximize your earnings and handle every detail from cleaning to maintenance and repairs. For guests, enjoy a stay that feels like home with hand-selected properties, personal touches like local recommendations, and extras like concierge service that will make your trip unforgettable. Whether you're a homeowner or a traveler, experience the Simple Life. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
The next New Wisco weekend is all about the winter holidays. I'm Lisa Hale. Join Terry Barr and myself as we take a closer look at solstice, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah.
Saturday morning at 8, Sunday at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. As always, none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Earl. How are you doing? I was just in Detroit for 4 days. Saw the Lions, Bills game.
Oh, man. What a great game.
One of the highest scoring games in NFL history. It made the list of top 10.
You know, Robert, I'm a Lions fan, but they're, you know, when you're starting almost your entire starting defensive team and half of the backups are out, and then you lose one of your top two running backs, It's a horrible time, but they're going to go down fighting.
Points weren't the problem. The Bills could run too well, and as a result, Josh Allen was uncontainable, their quarterback. But he's an amazing quarterback. But you better be stomping their run in order to have a chance.
Dr. Craig, so much to talk about. It really is. We've been talking about the election of Donald Trump. He hasn't even gotten, you know, in office yet, but so much going on. House Republicans call for Liz Cheney to be investigated over January 6th committee role. So just to even try to envision and take a bite out of what this means, Dr. Craig, for the future, it's kind of unbelievable that we're even talking about this, that somebody who still a very well-respected former congressperson who's doing her job could somehow now be threatened, you know, by an incoming, you know, president's group of goons to somehow put her in a situation where she's has to financially push back against these kinds of things. What are your thoughts, Dr. Craig, on the impact of just this?
Well, I would connect it with the lawsuits against major media and regional media like the Des Moines Register. So that they're using the law to coerce people into compliance, right? And also to have a war on truth. So they want to make it so media, ABC, NBC, or any newspaper, any other media source feels like even if they get a frivolous lawsuit, and who knows what happens when it goes to Trump's Supreme Court, but that they're going to think twice about any negative coverage. And that is very similar to, I mean, Liz Cheney was a very successful, very conservative politician who was high up in the leadership of the House and on a trajectory. You could see her becoming a Republican speaker of the House in the future. What was her motive other than patriotism for deciding to vote to impeach Donald Trump after the attempted insurrection and then join a committee that's goal was to find out what happened? And does anyone want to call in and tell me that nothing happened on January 6th that was worthy of investigation? And we'll hear these talking points about how it was a corrupt, investigation. That is just not factually the case. It was actually a model investigation from the standpoint of how Congress ought to do its job.
Bipartisan.
It was bipartisan because you had two Republicans willing to do it. That's the only reason most wouldn't. But then all of the evidence came from former Trump folks, right-wing conservative people who had the guts to stand up for the country, and they testified in public. It's all there in the light of day. And it's amazing what people can be made to believe. The people apparently can be made to believe everything if their group is saying that this is the factual thing and gives them a fake cause and effect to replace the real cause and effect.
Dr. Craig, it's House Republicans who are bringing this pressure on another fellow Republican. Imagine what they're going to do to the other side. I mean, this wasn't something that is brought up by Democrats. This is House Republicans who are demanding this.
Well, they hate Liz Cheney because, to use a religious metaphor, she's a heretic, right? She turned on them. She put her country over her party, and this cannot be accepted, and it will not be accepted by Donald Trump. So this is just playing to the new wannabe dictator, right? But ultimately, this is to make sure that there is no further investigation ever of Donald Trump and his team. And this is on the same day that I just saw in the New York Times. I had not turned on the cable news this morning or anything, that Herschel Walker will be the ambassador to the Obamas, the Bahamas, not the Obamas, the Bahamas, which is, good luck to the Bahamas. I don't know what Herschel Walker is going to end up doing there, but it's like, can you find less qualified, less stable, more incompetent people to fill out this administration?
Dr. Craig, you're talking about the New York Times. I was reading this article this morning by Michelle Goldberg, and it's called The Great Capitulation. And she said, at a press conference at Mar-a-Lago on Monday, Donald Trump described recent visits from Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, Sergey Brin, a co-founder of Google, and other tech barons. And Trump said, in the first term, everyone was fighting me, he said. In this term, everyone wants to be my friend. For once, he wasn't exaggerating. Dr. Craig, why are people capitulating? Why? I mean, I know they're afraid, but somebody has to be willing to stand up, don't they?
Well, it shows the character of a lot of our top CEOs. Jeff Bezos, the powerful billionaire owner of Amazon, founder of Amazon, pre-capitulated by pulling the Washington Post. He owns the Washington Post endorsement of Kamala Harris shortly before the election. And he has also gone to make peace. Other CEOs, like the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, it tells you about the character of these business leaders. And it's another reason we cannot hand the economy over totally to them. That is why we've had skyrocketing inequality, why the only thing that the first Trump administration actually achieved was massive multi-billion dollar tax cuts for large corporations and the wealthy, and they want to double down and do more of that. So they're all playing ball, but it tells you that the future of democracy in the hands of average people coming together, not in the hands of these elites. They cannot be trusted to do anything other than to seek their own interest. And this is, as experts have told us over and over again, this is the story of authoritarianism. The major institutions, the major corporations, they capitulate. They try to save themselves. It is average people who need to be the heroes, and some leaders, like Liz Cheney being one of them, and Adam Schiff, who they want to throw in jail, and people who's a Democrat, and people like that. But they're few and far between, and it's certainly not, there's not a lot of courage coming from the people who have benefited most from economic growth the last 50 years, the corporate elite here at all. Quite the contrary.
You know, Dr. Craig, even elected officials are all bowing. And so it doesn't, to me, if Donald Trump wants to be the king, okay, that should be something he's wanting. That shouldn't be something that we all help him become.
This is all like loyalists to King George, right? This is, this bowing and scraping is a threat to freedom, a threat to democracy.
Yes.
And we need to start to establish that norm, quite frankly. And it's going to be amazing if Trump goes down in flames and is a hated figure based on who gets to write future history. How many of these people will reverse and say, I was against him all the time and I was on the inside and talking so I could make sure I could prevent damage, et cetera, et cetera. I was with you all the way.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm laughing, but this is no laughing matter. This what this man in Project 2025, as it's being implemented as we speak, if we don't have people on the other side, Dr. Craig, who are willing to push back and fight this tooth and nail, it becomes a reality.
Yeah, you had the FBI, head of the FBI, who has 3 years left on his term, Christopher Wray, pre-resign. So that we, to make it easier for a really malevolent figure, Kash Patel,
yeah, lunatic
FBI director, and Lord knows what he's going to do with the FBI. And we're not even talking about death squads here. You can show how few profiles in courage, I use the title of John F. Kennedy's book, there are out there, particularly as you go up in power, right? Because if you're someone who has a lot, you have a lot to lose. They don't want to lose any yachts, apparently, and they don't want to be isolated from power and further wealth, though, quite frankly, their intergenerational wealth is going to be worthless to their heirs if we don't address the climate crisis. And, of course, we're now going to take a step back on that, too.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, when we're talking about even U.S. senators who Republicans who are saying, well, he's threatening to primary me. You're a United States senator, for heaven's sakes. You know, our concern shouldn't be about whether or not you get primaried. Their concern should be about what's in the best interest of the American people. But for heaven's sakes, that's not what their concern is. 855-752-4842. You guys on the phone line, hang on. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, the great capitulation on the Earl Ingram Show.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is in the chair. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. with Patel in charge of the FBI, this craziness is only going to get worse. As far as I can tell, just in the last couple of weeks, Trump has initiated 2 slap suits. You know what those are. They're designed to discourage free speech. One against ABC, and ABC didn't even really fight it.
Right.
They paid out. They said they were going to pay out $15 million into the Trump library. Boy, that's a library that I wouldn't visit. And now he's suing a major Iowa newspaper, I believe, the Des Moines Register. And you know, both of those suits are designed to discourage free speech. And I'm sure that if there was enough financial backing, both of those organizations could take him to court and could win on at least a free speech, if not an accurate statement, and that would throw out his lawsuit. The ABC thing, where one of their personalities call him a rapist, that's backed up by the New York State judge, who basically said, what he did, according to New York law, is sexual assault, but it is really what any ordinary person would understand as rape. And, you know, you could certainly defend it on that basis, I would think, if not, you know, free speech against someone who is clearly and has admittedly engaged in sexual assault, not to mention the judgments. This is really going to be, unless some of the Republicans wake up and they start to get some political courage, I guess I'd call it. This is going to be a dictatorship if this continues.
Hey, Jack, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Caller is on point on all of that, including the narrative about ABC. I'm wondering what books are going to be in the Trump library.
The Bible for sure.
But yeah, only one of the Bible. Wow. It's like Oklahoma school.
Yeah.
And so I do think we need to bear in mind that this country is harder to take over and create a dictatorship than other countries. The biggest risk we've had of authoritarianism in our history, which is saying something. But you have all of the authority within each state. It's a federated government. You have the fact that the House has the purse strings and has a one vote functional majority right now. We'll see. I don't hold up the filibuster as one of the bulwarks of democracy, but it will be harder to pass things until they change it. And then there's just the matter of all these Republican congressmen and senators, and congresswomen are going to have dueling interests here. They're going to try to show fealty to the king while also buttering the bread of their own constituencies, right? And so they're going to try to play it both ways. Like, they are against the Affordable Care Act and against Medicaid, but they actually don't want it cut off because it's politically dangerous from their own constituents. The same with all of the money for climate change and the Inflation Reduction Act. That's benefited red states even more than blue states. And so let's see. It might well be that this is a lot more sound and fury than anything else. I think the caller's right, though. The shredding of civil liberties, both by what kind of investigations they will unleash and the great capitulation, as we're calling it here, following the columnist from the New York Times, Michelle Goldberg, who wrote the article. So it's most of the way through that column during the break, Earl. So you won't have the media being the watchdog it needs to be. You'll have a lot of average people who will just be sacrificed to these lawsuits. And Trump was effective using the law against people when the law was not on his side. Just as a rich guy, he was able to stand down the whole federal government because of his fundraising capacity. Now that he's a hero of half the country, imagine what he's going to do with the Justice Department. Pam Bondi, who probably will do more damage than Gates because she's probably more effective. She's crazy, but not as crazy.
You know, 855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Hang on the phone lines. Dr. Craig, we're going to talk about, U.S. labor adopts an anti-labor policy against remote work. Amongst other things, we're going to certainly talk about the politrickster of the day towards the end of the next segment. And we're also going to talk about, GOP leans into inequity and inclusion with all white male House leaders. So Donald Trump has been opposed to equity and inclusion. But everybody in this cabinet, for the most part, is white, going to be white males. 855-752-4842. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin DOT reminds drivers the law of the month for December is plan ahead to prevent impaired driving. On average, someone is injured or killed in an impaired driving crash every 2 hours in Wisconsin. In 2023, there were over 7,700 impaired driving crashes that claimed the lives of 186 people on Wisconsin roads. With many holiday gatherings and enjoying the festive cheer, be sure you have a safe ride home this holiday season. Check your freezers, specifically the frozen pizzas in there. Palermo's has issued a recall for over 1,700 Connie's Thin Crust Cheese frozen pizzas. They say it's due to potential plastic contamination. The impacted products were distributed in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. They've already been pulled from the store's shelves. If you have one in your freezer, you should throw it out and contact the store for a refund. The price of eggs has risen about 30% this year. A dozen eggs cost $2.52 in January. Now the national average is about $3.37. And at least partially responsible for that increase is the bird flu. Across the country, the virus has killed more than 100 million chickens. Three-quarters of them were egg layers. Ron Keene is the poultry specialist with UW Extension.
You know, we had kind of had a reprieve over summer, at least decrease. Now with cooler weather and the migration of birds, we've had kind of an uptick. Really, the Midwest has been fairly fortunate. A lot of outbreaks have been on the West Coast this fall. We'll see.
Of course, right now, it's cooking season. Between deviled eggs, cookies, cakes, pies, the demand for eggs is high. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a fan of the shows Baby Reindeer or Stranger Things, you might be interested in a new show that is being developed at Netflix. The Duffer Brothers, who created Stranger Things, and Veronica Tofilska, who created Baby Reindeer, are teaming up for a new show called Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. The episodic horror series will star Camilla Marone and Adam DeMarco. If you're looking for a can't-miss film to watch over the holidays, it's probably not Netflix's new Carry On. Having said that, it is available from the comfort of your chair and is nonstop. If you can look past some plot logic, you'll probably be entertained as there is good action and it does move along nicely. The film stars Taron Egerton as a TSA agent who is being controlled by a terrorist organization led by Jason Bateman, who gets to show his incredible range as an actor. The film Carry On got an 80% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but only 60% of audiences liked it. I am definitely in the 40%, but check it out for yourself. Good premise, not so great execution. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have some snow on the way. Tomorrow into tomorrow night, we could end up with 3 to 5, maybe even 6 inches of accumulation by the time it all winds down late Thursday night. Today, though, partly cloudy, 30. Tonight, clouds will increase down to 12. Snow tomorrow with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop holding my pants up because they would literally go down. And twice people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang will guest host, guiding us through how we can move forward with poetry.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm dreaming.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, I have a question for you. First, the people must think that the emperor still has clothes on, huh? But my question to you is, I want to know what happened before FDR leading up to the New Deal. What were the tax rates? And was there the money in politics? And how did we get out of it? I really want to know, like, what was the solution of how we got out of it? Was it just FDR saying, I'm, you know, going to war with these economic royalists? Or what was it that happened? Because honestly, we're just kind of like living in the 20s again in the same experiment that we had done before. So can you answer that for me, what the tax rates were before FDR? And also, if there was this much money in politics?
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig.
Well, the modern government was in its infancy. In other words, we didn't really start to build a modern federal government until the Wilson administration in the Progressive Era from 1912 to 1920. And it was pulled back on by the three Republican presidents. So the tax rates would have been much lower, but there would have been far less of a federal government to fund. And there was no giant standing army. We were not a military power. As we became during World War II and then after World War II. And so, and in fact, FDR made mistakes. He campaigned on fiscal austerity, and he actually did some things to make the Depression worse initially before reversing course on that. But Herbert Hoover had been so ineffective in the face of the Great Depression, refusing to use the government to intervene because he had very conservative market kind of principles in the 19th century. People were so desperate and Congress was so fractious, and we all know how that is, that there was a strong opinion by leading elites, Walter Lippmann, who was a pundit more influential than any pundit you could imagine now as far as his influence. William Randolph Hearst had a movie made promoting the president becoming an authoritarian figure and basically closing Congress, called Gabriel Over the White House. If you all look it up, it was a major motion picture release. FDR decided not to do that, even though he had a lot of backing for it, to move towards dictatorial control, and effectively got major reforms through Congress that stimulated the economy. And there were a lot of hits and misses in that, and trial and error. But he basically decided to try to make democracy work and then succeeded in doing so. And of course, that created a renaissance with some fits and starts in America, building our current, you know, Social Security, everything that we take for granted in our society that the government is supposed to do to create a safety net. That was made possible because FDR made that choice. So very different than now, where you have a public perception that President Biden has failed, which is, you know, misunderstands the role of COVID, right? And misunderstands his huge economic gains, and then completely misunderstands how incompetent Trump is. We now have a situation where authoritarianism, the basis for authoritarianism is very different. It is in order to make government work in a constructive way to solve this huge national crisis, the Great Depression. We had 30% unemployment. People couldn't feed themselves, and were losing their houses, and there was mass migration. Now we have a would-be dictator who may cause that level of crisis. So it's great you brought it up, Tom, but very different situation. But again, we have to figure out how to make democracy work and prove it can work from the outside power.
So, Dr. Craig, if there's one thing Republicans hate, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, which they see as demonic spawn of wokeness and a word they've never been inclined to define, to provide just how unnecessary DEI is in America. The GOP leaders in the U.S. House of Representatives have chosen men to head up all the House committees. All but one of the men is white. Now, let me ask you, Dr. Craig. They vilified diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they got the average American to go along with that because they felt as if this was an attack on white males and that the society had forced the white male into some subservient positions in this nation. And yet, in the face of that tremendous lie, and many average citizens who denounce diversity, equity, and inclusion. What does Donald Trump do? What do the Republicans do? Put all white men in charge of what's happening in this society. How is that a good thing, Dr. Craig? In 2025.
Yeah, and diversity, equity, inclusion, they like to create boogeymen. So they've created this thing that doesn't really exist, but it becomes a wedge against trying to make sure that the leadership of this country, the advantages people get, like going to college, right, and being able to stay in college, are equally distributed to everyone, that isn't just segregated among certain groups of people. But their action proves the need for intervention.
Yes.
Because it's left to their own devices. Unless you believe, and I just ask, we can ask conservative callers, that this is just a result of meritocracy. And if you believe that, then you have to believe there is something superior about heterosexual white males, right? Of a conservative leaning. This is all very hard to imagine. Now, part of their problem, Earl, is that they are far less diverse in terms of their leadership than the Democrats. It would be pretty hard to find enough white men, you know, in order to be the leader of every darn committee. If you looked at the House congressional delegation for Democrats, is quite diverse, right?
Right.
The Republican is not. But nonetheless, and, you know, I guess Lynn Cheney gave them a splash of gender diversity, but, you know, she's a heretic now, and Trump needs to have a reality show. You know, demand her punishment. We'll see if they actually try to go through with it.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is, as a black person in this nation, it is, when you see this and you know the history and the fact that they've been able to want to do away with history, and then you see they move right back to where they were before there was anything that addressed. We were living in a society at a time, Dr. Craig, that was not fair and equitable and just. And then we had a government that looked at that and said, yes, it's not fair and equitable and just. And so we're going to put provisions in place to address what has not been fair and equitable and just to other American citizens. But it's one of those other American citizens, Dr. Craig, who sees this, and you just have to say, Dr. Craig, we know that, thank God, that the majority of the American people don't agree with this foolishness because they didn't vote for Donald Trump. And women who also voted for Donald Trump should understand that he doesn't have many women in positions of leadership as well. It's more than frustrating, to say the least, Dr. Craig. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Yeah, I'd like to say that, I think the idea of the all-white male cabinet and positions around them is so that they never have to be in a room and before they start talking about things, look around and say, hey, are we alone here? And then secondly, I'd like to make a serious point in that, you know, you kind of just said it, Earl, but also Dr. Craig was speaking earlier, and not that it's misspoken, but we always talk about like half the country, more than half the country, the majority of the country. I wish we would be a little more accurate about it and say the majority of the electorate, because there's still 70-something million people that just don't vote. And so it's not half the country. Every time we say that, we're normalizing the idea that half of the country or more than the half of the country, and that's absolutely not true. It's more than half of the electorate, and honestly, it was 49.9% of that, I believe.
Eric,
that's about it.
Well, that's some good stuff, Eric. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Eric? He's 100% accurate.
Well, it kind of calls into question the legitimacy of our democracy when so many people don't participate at all. And maybe the electorate, in some ways, that the nation is the electorate, right?
Right.
People care enough to actually do the most minimum thing you can do to be a member of this society, and that is vote. But I take the point. It just, they're off to the side, and it's hard to know how to interpret their votes. Their votes can be votes in favor of or against everything, right? I mean. And it is an example of the number of people who are on the outside and demoralized, and that is a problem for democracy as well. And so caller makes a good point.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
Thanks, Earl and Dr. Craig. Let's see. Let's do this one. One day, live in a nation where there will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And we are living that.
No, Dr. Dr. King challenged that, CJ, and he challenged it because there was no diversity, equity, and inclusion. How about thinking about that?
Thank God they're going to end DEI in our military.
So, Dr. Craig,
it's been an amazing bait and switch that the aspiration that we have a society where your gender, your race, your ethnicity, your sexual orientation have nothing to do with your success, right? That is somehow means we've achieved it, is an amazing proposition. And completely goes against, is a complete distortion, rewriting of history as what Martin Luther King Jr. said and stood for. And this is why they need to erase history. And you can see erasing Dr. Martin Luther King and making him into Lord knows what he is, if the way they apply him, is an example of rewriting and erasing history for a partisan ideological purpose.
Oh, you know, Dr. Craig, I'm just thankful that I live during that period of time and witnessed him for myself and was old enough to comprehend what the fight was about. Otherwise, I would have been able to fall for what CJ just spouted, as if, you know, there was some truth in that. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're going to talk about the politrickster of the day, amongst other things, with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, on The Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SavedByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, your claws are full, but that would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for
oh,
you.
Oh, the wow. worst.
You would talk like that.
Like get that. Absolutely. Get
put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, now mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He's really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Alba Show.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside's blazing bright.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And you, let's go to the phone lines at Karina. Hey, Karina, how you doing?
Good morning. Well, I have two things to say. Honestly, well, because I'm a woman and I'm white and I'm an immigrant, it does feel very often that the people doesn't take me the way they would took somebody who was born in this country and don't have an accent. But at the same time, I don't know how other people feel. And I don't know how other nations feel. So that's very difficult to understand. But at the same time, do we really need to have something to tell us to treat everybody equal? One thing. And another thing, I would like to see that gentleman who came in on the radio about the black man for Trump. I want to see his opinion. If we can possibly contact him and bring him back, maybe. Because how they feel about it. I mean, we feel about it because they're taking something away from us. They feel about it that they're removing the obstacle, okay? So I'm confused at this point. Is it an obstacle or is it something what helps our society to be kind to each other, which shouldn't be there in the beginning with?
Karina, thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, it would certainly been a lot easier if there wasn't such a thing as racism and discrimination. But human beings... You know, that's who we are, right? And so we have those proclivities, some of us, and you know, and that's the way things are. And so, you know, you can't change. What did Dr. King say, Dr. Craig? You can't legislate morality. You clearly can't late morality, but Dr. King said, we can stop you from lynching us. So you can change laws, but you can't legislate morality. Part of this is morality. And so, you know, that's where people are. And but you don't solve it by erasing it, Dr. Craig, and saying we're going to go back to square one, where white men control it all, and this is our world. Especially since they only make up 10% of the global population.
And I understand a lot of working class white men who are not enjoying that many privileges in our society may resent this is somewhat where we need to think about how we talk about this, us clumping them in with, you know, the people who run the country, right? Because they're not running the country either. Of course, the problem is they're tending disproportionately to side with those people when they're voting for conservative Republicans. But you're quite right about racism and every other ism, because humans easily, the way we evolved and the way our mental frameworks work, we define ourselves and our groups, the in-group, against some out-group, against another, right? And we're socialized into what those are. And that changes, that doesn't change that rapidly. In fact, there's a lot of research that indicates that racism improved in this country in the 20th century, not so much because hearts and minds were changed, but because people who were socialized in a very racist way passed from the scene. There was generational transition. What I'm a little bit concerned about is it looked like there was going to be perpetual progress where each generation is more inclusive and less racist, sexist, homophobic, right? That's not clear anymore. And in fact, there was a big move of young males towards Trumpism in this election because it's been this social media drumbeat has been successful in all these YouTube personalities and the type in claiming that somehow men are now the victimized group, right? Even middle class, upper middle class white men, and that they're having things taken away, and that's what Democrats are doing. We need to be very clear that inclusion means everyone, and it means a true meritocracy, because right now there is not a true meritocracy. When you do a test, whenever they do tests on like the same, some black folks and white folks apply for jobs, when the black folks are more qualified, the white folks will get more of the jobs. Same with real estate and buying houses, right? All of that. Every test you do that's objective shows that racism and sexism and classism and homophobia are alive and real, and we need to use the law to call it market.
All right, Dr. Robert Craig, thank you, and we'll see you in a week. I just want to say the Politrickster of the year is Marjorie Taylor Greene, as the Social Security Department is on Capitol Hill fighting and making it clear that they don't want to see cuts to Social Security. She's made personal attacks against those folk who are there to represent us. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Craig. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, Madner on Air. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.
From DePere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. Maggie Dawn.
Is there a Christmas song that makes you cringe every time you hear it? The Chipmunks, maybe? What about that Mariah Carey tune? We review the weirdest and most annoying holiday tunes of all time. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Federal Reserve wrapping up its last meeting of the year, expected to lower interest rates by a quarter point this afternoon. Could automakers Nissan and Honda be getting ready to merge? They say they're in talks about collaboration in some way. Here's ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Both automakers have been struggling in recent years, and they've seen weak sales, and the partnership could strengthen. But there are no specifics yet on what this is going to mean for jobs. Keep in mind, though, even though these are Japanese automakers, they do have plants here in the U.S. Nissan has factories in Tennessee and Mississippi, and one of the largest for Nissan is in Ohio.
The suspect in the killing of healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York 2 weeks ago now facing an 11-count indictment that includes charges of first-degree murder and terrorism. It's crunch time if you're hoping to get a package out by Christmas. If you are shipping through first-class postage with the post office, today is the deadline if you want it to arrive by Christmas. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.